welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and hosted by, he knows everybody, John Gutierrez.
That's right. Welcome to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Today, we're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Farmers and Merchants Bank. At F&M Bank, we put purpose over profit and service above self. Ever since CJ Walker, founder of the bank in 1907, some things will always be at F&M Bank. With us today, we have Mr. Diego Zarate. I hope I'm saying that, Diego.
You are.
Director of Local and Community Relations at Cal State University of Fullerton. Go Titans, right?
Yeah, go Titans.
First generation college graduate, Cal State Fullerton, of course, alumni. 10 years working in the nonprofit sector. And celebrando, of course, Cal State Fullerton's Somos Titans event that's coming up that we're going to be talking about here with Diego. Welcome, Diego, to the show.
Yeah, thank you, John, and thank you for the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for this opportunity. We have a really long-standing relationship with the Chamber, and obviously are the board chairwoman for the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Alva Rubalcaba.
Shout out to Alva, yes.
Yeah, exactly. She's also the AVP of Government and Community Relations at the university, so thank you.
Yes, and Alva's been one of those community leaders that's always helping, of course, with yourself and the whole team, support our youth chamber. We do so many of our youth chamber mixers, events at Cal State Fullerton. So thank you. And of course, Alva and the Cal State Fullerton community for always welcoming our youth chamber.
Yeah, of course. Like I said earlier, our North Star is students. So if we can support them in any capacity, you know, happy to do so.
So if you want to share a little bit about yourself, that's one of the things we like to go into. We're going to go into Somos Titans, of course, a great event, a great community event that people can come out and support. We'll get into the event, but I'd love to learn a little bit about yourself so our viewers, our listeners can learn about who you are and of course, how you ended up in this role, if you don't mind sharing with us.
Yeah, not a problem. So one of the things that I like to share is just the historical context of who I am, where I come from, because a lot of people don't get the opportunity to know that you guys are in for a treat. I was born in the United States, but I was actually raised in Mexico, in Michoacán, Mexico.
Oh, Michoacán. That's where my mom's from. My mom's from Morelia, Michoacán.
Oh, perfect. We're actually between and Zamora. My dad's from El Rincón Grande. My mom's actually from La Piedad.
Nice.
And we grew up in Mexico. My parents were immigrants of the United States. They're now both citizens of the United States. I'm actually the youngest of six. So I attest a lot of the growth that I've had as an individual to the formal mentors and informal mentors that I could go into in a little bit. But essentially, I grew up here in Santa Ana, went to Lincoln Elementary, went to Spurgeon Intermediate, and I went to Santa Ana High School. So I got the privilege of being a saint for 4 years.
Wait, you went to Spurgeon?
Yeah, I went to Spurgeon.
That's my wife's junior high, man.
Yeah.
And I know now they call them middle schools. But back then we called them junior high.
Correct.
Was it still 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, right?
Correct. At the time, yeah.
And you went to Santa Ana as a state. What year were you over at Santa Ana?
So I was there from 2004 to 2008. So graduated class of 2008.
You're a baby, man. You're a baby. I was in Santa Ana High School my freshman year.
Oh, great.
I went there. I went to Lowell Elementary School. I went to Lathrop Junior High. And then I went to Santa Ana my freshman year in 89. I think I was a freshman there or 90 because I graduated in 94 from Century. When Century opened, I transferred over there. But the Saints, man, so much history, just a rich history of athletics. My brother was there in 85 when they won the CIF championship with Coach Dig Hill, who was a legend in football. And my wife actually attended also Santa Ana High School, my sister, my brother-in-law, a lot of family members. So I lived literally like 3 blocks away from Santa Ana High School. So great school.
Yeah, it's a great school. And that actually provided a lot of the platforms to be where I'm at now. I played soccer. I ran cross country. I ran track. It doesn't look like it anymore, but I was very athletic at one point in time in my life. And from Santa Ana High School, I got to the privilege of attending Cal State Fullerton, where I earned my degree in ethnic studies, Chicano studies to be exact, and a minor in kinesiology. And funny story, I actually went to school to become an occupational therapist, and that clearly didn't happen. I ended up working in the nonprofit sector, but going into nonprofit sector and kind of just my career in general, before getting into the nonprofit sector, I spent about 12 years in the retail industry. So I worked for Guess, I worked for Michael Kors, and I got to work for Intermix. So a lot of high clientele retail. And then in 2015, that's why I said 10 years, actually, for September 1st of 2015, I entered the nonprofit space. And how I got there was through mentorship, actually. One of my really good professors and really good mentors, Alejandro Gradilla, and Doctora Malagon, who's actually a sociology professor at Cal State Fullerton, pretty much asked me to do some research on where do I want to go. And a lot of it has to attest again to mentorship. Had a lot of coaches, teachers, counselors, and family members who supported me. So they invited me to do the research, and I came across Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Such a great organization.
And so I got to work for Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Is it the one at the, over here in Santa Ana?
Correct.
Yeah, because Nidia, who's one of our board members, is there now.
Oh, good.
Yes. And by the way, Mike Colada says hello too.
Yeah, Mike Colada is a great individual, been out in the community for a very long time. Actually got to work with him for at least a year with him. But
Big Brothers, right?
Big Brothers Big
Sisters. Yes, because we do a lot of stuff with Big Brothers. And by the way, if you don't know what Big Brothers Big Sisters is, definitely go visit their website, Google them. Great organization, just impacting our community. They're one of our partners at our chamber here.
Yeah, and actually I steered up that partnership once I was at Big Brothers Big Sisters when I came back. But so essentially was there for as an enrollment and match specialist. We did about 2 years, did a little quick sting at the corporate office, didn't like it. So I went back to the nonprofit and actually worked for Court Appointed Special Advocates, which is CASA. Also
another one of our partners of our chamber. Yes.
Supporting CASA, the foster care system, the students.
That's interesting. I was just talking to my wife about that. Yesterday, we were driving back from my son's school in Irvine there off of Culver, and there's a fence somewhere at a park or something, and they had this like a banner, and it said CASA on it. And I pointed at it, and I said, oh, that's one of our partners of our chamber. And I shared with her a little bit. Amazing work what they do, right? They help a lot of women, domestic violence with their kids too.
So there is multiple CASA programs out there. This one specifically is supported federally and actually through the state, but it supports, what they do is recruit volunteers. These volunteers go through about 40 hours of training, if I'm not mistaken. They might have changed that recently, but essentially they're tied to a student or a youth in the foster care system and help them navigate the judicial system. They work with counselors, with teachers, they work with judges, social workers to ensure that the best interests of the student, the youth, is actually up front. So they do a lot of great work. I tell my wife that those individuals, those volunteers, because that's the only individual in their whole caseload that is not paid, but those individuals are angels.
So Big Brothers and CASA, two great nonprofits.
Yeah, nonprofit organizations that supported the communities I've always liked to support.
Yes.
And then from there, through mentorship again, through another individual, Matthew Waldinger, who is actually their chief branding officer right now. Shout out to Matthew. He mentioned something that I didn't know about myself, which is being able to tell a story, and told me that I could do more with my communication skills and just my background. So he invited me to go into advancement, which is fundraising. And I ended up working with another great partner of yours, which is Orangewood Foundation.
Orangewood Foundation. They've all been on our podcast show. All these great organizations.
Yeah, so I was a donor relations manager there for about a year, and I learned a lot through Kendra. I learned a lot through Christina Lopez, who's a really good advocate.
Shout out to Christina.
An ambassador, right?
They've been on our podcast, yes.
Correct. Yeah, all those individuals have paved a lot of pathways to myself, and then got to go back to Big Brothers Big Sisters as a director of recruitment. So that's where I met Michael Lara, and pretty much was working on building strategies and pipelines to mirror the children that we serve. Over 70% of the population that Big Brothers Big Sisters serves is Latino Hispanic youth. So I was there for about a year, and then through mentorship and networking, which I'll talk about in a bit as well, but I had the opportunity to go back to an alumni engagement opportunity with Cal State Fullerton with the College of Business at the Northgate Gonzalez corporate office.
Nice, great organization. Don Miguel.
Miguel and Oscar. Yes.
You don't know Don Miguel's story from Northgate. What a great story, right?
Yeah, phenomenal story.
Just phenomenal story of what he's built with his family and his sons, right? And his daughters. It's just a great organization. They just opened the big El Mercado, right? In Costa Mesa. A
phenomenal place to go.
Yes,
have some
I took churros. My mom there, and she was just like, wow, she loved it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, real quick, I want to ask you something. You were mentioning you went to school and you studied Chicano studies. And it's interesting because I often share the story of when I went to college and I took Chicano studies. And for me, it was just a really great opportunity to learn more about our history, my history. And so many of the things that my dad had shared with me growing up as a kid, the Bracero program and all those things. As a kid, you don't always believe what your parents are telling you. They're like, yeah, sure. It just happens. I see that with my kids. They give me the look, yeah, dad, sure, whatever. But going away to college and then taking Chicano studies in college and then reading the books, I never forget coming back home during that break that you have in college. And just my perspective of my father really changed. I seen my father in a different way because I was reading in these Chicano studies books things that he had shared with me. Did you find that maybe when you went through that story? Obviously, you came from Mexico and you probably, but What did that do for you when you were studying in that area?
I think it rooted me. And it made me, like you said, it made me understand my parents a lot more. And to this day, I always thank them for all the hard work that they did. They worked in the fields, actually, in the grapevine themselves. And the reason why we came to the United States is actually because of my grandpa being part of the Bracero program, Leonardo Ramirez. And same thing with my grandpa on my dad's side, who they sacrificed a lot to ensure that we had what we have now. So going as a Chicano studies major, I did that pivot when I wasn't feeling that I was being represented in the Kinesis department. And it's not because I didn't like the work. It's because I really love history and I really understand who I am as a person. The sacrifices that our communities have done is very extraordinary, right? I come from a low-income household. You know, I'm the youngest of six. There's a lot of obstacles that I came across in learning how to navigate all these systems, right? Learning the educational aspect of things, learning how to network, you know, learning all these different things that I learned through Chicano studies.
Yes.
And understanding and valuing the history. That's an important part of it. I'm very proud of my
roots. I think it's important we pass that on to our children, who hopefully will pass down that to their children. And in my home, we actually have a really nice painting of my father and my father-in-law. They're like shaking hands. It's a painting that somebody recreated from a photo they took at our wedding. And I've often, in the living room, pulled my kids aside, my boys, and shared with them, these men, along with your grandmothers, sacrificed a lot. And I share with them the story of the Bracero program, because it's important we understand what is the Bracero program. During World War II, the American agents went to Mexico. My dad used to tell me that they would show up and they'd be like, okay, you this way, you that way, you this way, you that way. And I'm looking at my dad like, why did they do that to you, Dad? And they're like, us younger ones, they took to Arizona because we can handle the heat. And the older guys, they took to California because the heat wasn't as bad. But eventually I ended up in California too, as I got older. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, he goes, and I used to come to the US and there wasn't a lot of Hispanic people. So it was like fish out of water, right? He goes, then I go back to Mexico and people would look at me like I was some sort of like hero. You went to El Norte, what was it like? And I had all this American money. So they looked at me like a hero in the community, right?
Yeah.
So he would share these stories with me, but he also, obviously, as we know from Chicano studies books, they went through some tough times.
Oh, yeah.
They slept in trains. They slept in who knows where. They didn't have health insurance. They went through really tough times. So there's that side of the story that you read in these Chicano study books.
Correct.
And the reason why I'm sharing this with everybody is because that is the beauty of going to a Cal State Fullerton.
Correct.
That is the beauty of my son going to college and opening these books and taking Chicano studies, which, by the way, he's taking right now.
Okay.
And learning the history of your grandpa. In my case, it was my father, but in my kid's place, it's going to be their grandpa, right?
Correct. Yeah, and I think it's a great way to learn a little bit more about who you are. It helps, and I always attest to a lot of the education that I received, right? I've always said that the best education comes from home. Yes. La chancla me ayudó un montón.
Nowadays, we got to be careful with the chancla and all that. You know how it is.
Yeah, but all that, I, like I said, I have a lot of respect for my parents and a lot of love for my parents, because everything they've done is the reason why I am now. So when people look at me and they're like, hey, why do you service? It's because of my parents. I grew up in, I'm the youngest times in Saturday mornings wasn't about cartoons. It was waking up, watching my dad's truck, helping out with the lawn, my mom being very responsible as well, helping her clean, helping her wash the dishes. It wasn't a traditional household to that extent, but my dad was always a disciplinary as well. My mom also too.
Yes. I remember when my mom, one time me and my brother got into it, right? And my mom was like, espérate que llegue tu papá, vas a ver. And we would be like, oh man, mom's going to tell dad. And when dad gets home, you know, he was tired.
Correct.
Long day, labor work. He doesn't have the patience. And it was just like, you're praying that mom didn't tell dad, right?
Correct.
And sometimes she didn't even tell my dad. It was just to put the fear in us that you guys need to chill out, stop fighting, arguing. It was her way of being able to control the household. And so our mothers, who are just a blessing to our community, right? They had to also navigate with the children. We were a family of five. You were a family of six. My wife's family, they're a family of nine. Imagine trying to manage nine kids coming home, trying to feed them, who's going where. I used to love going to the Santa Boys Club on Highland and Flower down there. So I would be like, andemos, mamá, voy al Boys Club. ¿Dónde vas? And it was like, cuando llegue tu papá, he's going to get mad. So our mothers also, people don't realize, aside from our fathers working so hard, they had to manage, almost like managing a business.
Correct, yeah.
And share with us, of course, you've gone through all these nonprofits. You ended up at Cal State Fullerton. What's it been like now?
So it's been very interesting. Being as a student, you learn the ins and outs of how to navigate the educational system. But now being on this end as an employee for the university, it's interesting how I can make the relationships with campus partners and external partners as a director of community relations and local and community relations here at the university. It's understanding how do we, before I even go in there, one of my biggest models has always been, how do we, one, eliminate barriers and create opportunities for those who don't have opportunities. One thing that I didn't share is, as a student, I was part of the EOP program. So I'm an alumni from
Educational Opportunity Program. I was part of that too.
Correct.
That's right.
And I attest a lot to it because it provided the extra support that I needed. Actually, through the counselor that was there at the time, his name was Juan, who told me to take a Chicano Studies course. I took a class, fell in love with the history, fell in love with the teachings, the readings, and then also he told me to go take a class for acting for non-majors that helped me do a lot of the public speaking that I do now.
I don't know if Reign of Gold is still part of your guys'. It's written by Victor Villaseñor. It's a really thick book, but it was one that at a lot of the universities, Chicano Studies. It's just a great book. I got to meet Victor Villaseñor, the writer of that book, at Librería Martinez in Santa Ana. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Ruben Martinez, right? A legend in Santa Ana. Yeah. We're both Santaneros.
Correct.
So it was a library that I remember for the first time going there, it just really opened my eyes because it was a different type of library.
Correct.
And so the fact that you grew up in Santa Ana, I think prepared you for where you are today. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say that. And again, like I always attest everything to mentorship. I could have gone a whole different direction growing up in where I grew up near a lot of negative areas, right? At the time, right? Everything has changed over time and a lot of investment from the city, a lot of investment from people getting educated in our communities to continue to support our community has been very important. I always attested to my cousins having a lot of mentors in my life who guided me, who supported me in all my areas of expertise in sports, taking me to practices, supporting me at clubs. And so a lot of that, I think, goes back to that. It's always been about mentorship for me and people guiding me to be who I am. So why I'm in these roles or these spaces is because I want to continue to support our community and give back. I know there's a lot of folks who don't want to work with the teenagers because we get it. It's a lot of different elements, but that's the element where we have to support a little bit more. I didn't share this, but I've also been a soccer coach myself. I was coaching at Orange High School for a few years, but I've had to take a step back because of my current role. Being able to be in front of young generations and just giving them some insight on everything is possible. With a little bit of dedication and hard work, you can do a lot more.
Sports plays a huge role. Yeah. Obviously, you played sports. I grew up playing football, running track, playing basketball, and sports really helped me. I feel just the teamwork aspect, right? The having the drive, the resilience, things like that, that I tell my boys, they play football, they've ran track, and I say to them, you may not be the fastest, you may not win every race, that's okay, but the fact that you're getting up almost every day in the summer to go practice in the heat while other students are sleeping in, you're sacrificing, you're building that resilience. Guess what? That's going to happen in the real world when you're older. You're going to have to get up when you don't even want to. You're going to have to go to work even though you don't want to. You're going to be tired. Sports teaches you that.
Correct.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a lot of discipline, responsibility, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, being to practice on time has helped out a lot.
You show up late, you're running.
Oh, and then not just you, it's the whole team sometimes.
Yeah, that's how they use it against you. Yeah,
and then you have to navigate those relationships. Sorry, it was my bad. But I build a lot of strong relationships through that. And now being at Cal State Fullerton and being able to support our students, one of the things that I like to share at the university, we're a Hispanic serving institution. We're celebrating over 20 years of supporting
that
our community.
That is awesome. Go Titans.
Yeah, go Titans. And actually, one thing that I like to share is this year we started off with over 45,000 students. We're the biggest Cal State University in the CSU system out of 22 campuses. And over 54% of our students are self-identifying as Hispanic Latinos.
Wow.
So we
Good
have
for you guys.
A lot to
That's
do
awesome.
For our community. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually with somebody that wanted to join our chamber yesterday, a dental office in Yorba Linda, and does very well. They're Hispanic-owned dental business. And they're like, we really want to get more involved with the Hispanic community in this area because there's not a lot of Hispanic people that we're serving right now. And I said, oh, I got a guy who's going to be on our show tomorrow. I got to introduce you to Diego. Cal State Fullerton is 15 minutes from you, right down the street. People don't realize how close it is to Yorba Linda, right? Like you're right there.
Yeah, it's maybe two blocks, three blocks that makes the difference. But yeah, we've been supporting our communities very well, specifically our students, like I mentioned yesterday.
And Placentia too, which is Tlaquepaque, one of our members, right?
Yeah, Rosalina, yeah, phenomenal individual. Yeah.
They have great chile verde, by the way.
Yeah, they're actually celebrating their 60th anniversary.
Yes, so yeah.
It's a staple within Placentia.
Cal State Fullerton is in a great place. You're definitely surrounded. And I didn't know this until, I don't know, but we own a healthcare company. We're in hospice and we do a lot of work like St. Jude Hospital, which is in Fullerton.
Correct.
There's a big Korean community over there. So you get a little bit of everything, right?
Correct.
Cal State Fullerton gets, people don't realize it's a melting pot.
Yeah, it's a very diverse community. It's students' population as well. And we actually, through our diversity initiatives resource centers, we have about 8 different cultural centers that support all of our communities. We have a Latinx resource center. We have an African-American resource center. We have Asian Pacific,
Pacific Islander,
have in the fall, we'll be opening up a Native and Indigenous resource center that will be happening in November. It's running, but we'll have a grand opening then. We also have a LGBTQ plus center called the Lasuardo Keller Center. It's actually from an alumni who named it. We also have our SWANA Center, which is our Southwest Asian North African student population. We have a Women's Resource Center, you name it, Titan Dreamers Resource Center, which is to support our undocumented students. And yeah, there's a lot of support for our community and our students. And I always tell the students, if you don't ask, you're not going to know whether we are able to support or not, but we will. And that's the thing. There's so much help on campus, so many scholarships, so many events that we do to support our students. Yesterday we had our convocation where Dr. Roshan continues to express that our North Star is students. Without students, Cal State Fullerton does not exist. And so we, and I say we as an individual, take away my ego because I'm there to support our students at any capacity. And through this role, it's advocating in the community for funds, advocating for opportunities. One of the biggest things that I like to share is our workforce development. Our students will be our workforce. So developing workforce development opportunities.
Such a huge topic right now, workforce development.
Yeah, and if you look at our alumni base, we're over 330,000 alumni here in through Cal State Fullerton, and 80% of our alumni stay within a 50-mile radius of the university. So it's interesting.
You're definitely impacting the surrounding areas, the surrounding businesses. Obviously here at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we're all about supporting our community, our youth chamber, and of course businesses, small businesses. And Cal State Fullerton is one of our partners. As you all know, Alva Rubacalva, like we mentioned earlier, is part of our board. She's our chair of our board. And that's why there's that partnership. I want to get into, because we only have a few minutes left, right. I want to get into Somos Titans. Share about the event, please, that's coming up.
Thank you, John. So we have a really exciting opportunity for our community to come out and support. And the reason why I say this is there's a lot of budget cuts happening here in California, federal funding being restricted and whatnot. So we've been creative over the time. But this specific event, it's on its fourth year. It's called Celebración de Cal State Fullerton Somos Titans. It's taking place on Sunday, October 5th, from 2:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Arboretum and Botanical Gardens at Cal State Fullerton. It is a fiesta. We actually tell people to come in festive attire.
Very nice event.
It's a really nice event. Last year, I got to attend it for the first time. And every year, we've been having Grammy Award-winning performers. We've had Poncho Sanchez. Yeah. We've had Mariachi Camperos. Last year, we had Andy Vargas.
Yes, who was also at our tour drive.
Correct.
Great band.
Yeah, and so he's a phenomenal performer. And then this year, we have a special treat for everybody. We have La Santa Cecilia, who's actually from South LA in general, but we have
it's gonna be some good dancing.
Yeah, I know. Right? I'm polishing up my boots, but it's a really neat opportunity. It is a very exclusive event in that sense because we are fundraising for critical and vital scholarships and also programs in our community to support all of our students. And over the last 4 years, we've been able to raise over $765,000, and it all goes again back to our students.
And they need it, man. All these students need it. So we want to make sure anybody viewing, watching this show, listening to the show, go support this amazing event. How can they go and find out information? What website or what Instagram or social media can they go?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we have a website. It's called fullerton.edu/SomosTitans, and people can buy individual tickets or they can sponsor. I was hesitant to say it, but we won't be having ticket sales at the door. This is a sponsor to attend because, again, all of it is for our students to support our programming.
And it makes it hard to have tickets at the door when you have to pre-plan for things like food and space. And so definitely try to, if you're interested in attending, Maybe one of your children have already been to Cal State Fullerton, the alumni. Come back, support, or even if you can't attend, maybe donate, sponsor, help out, right?
Yeah, correct.
If you have a business, you can sponsor through your business and get, I'm pretty sure, a tax write-off, right?
Yeah, it's a tax write-off as well, but that's something that I don't promote myself. But in general, it goes back, yeah. It goes a long way. I tell people to invest in our community, invest into our students, pay it forward more than anything, because I tell people I benefited from a lot of the support.
Yeah.
Sponsorships are available, and again, limited tickets. So get your tickets as soon as possible. They are running fast, and we'd love for you to be here and support during Somos Titans. I'd like to see your guys' faces, your dance moves. John, yes. Hopefully you're there.
I will try to make it. My wife and I do like to dance, so this is great. Again, folks, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Diego, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for all you're doing in the community. You've done amazing work at different nonprofits, and we wish you all the best, of course, now at Cal State Fullerton. We'll have you come back again. I know the show goes by so fast. I think sharing your story is key in our community. I want to close off by saying real quickly here, we're celebrating, of course, Hispanic Heritage Month. Today's podcast was brought to you by Farmers and Merchants Bank. Again, thank you to Farmers Merchant Bank for continuing to support us on Hispanic Heritage Month. Diego, any last words, brother?
Thank you for the time more than anything, John. But again, this is a crucial time in our community. I invite everybody to support Somos Titans. I'll be there. Hopefully you'll get to meet a lot of our cabinet, faculty, staff, students. We have student performers that I didn't mention. We'll have Ballet Folklórico, Mariachi Titans performing as well. So come out. It's a great time.
There you have it, folks. Where our community is your community. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
There you have it. It's always a party. It's always a celebration in our community. Because our community is your community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.